All right, and 3, 2, 1, podcast number 2. Here we are. I guess this is episode 2, video cast. Actually, we're on video as well.
Video number 1.
Full disclosure, this is take 2 of this podcast. The first one, we deemed an abysmal failure for several reasons. But yeah, here we are now on video, on audio. Hopefully you all are out there listening. We call this the Functional Life Podcast with Synergy, a fitness community. I'm Will Hamilton. I'm the owner, and this is...
McCall Letterly. I'm a team member here.
Yeah, she works for us and has been a longtime member and part of our gym and community and budding Johns Creek socialite, I guess we could say. And yeah, if y'all are out there watching us on video as well, this is something we always will do. Usually we save these things for our members, but this is a big topic today. And then I've always been told I had a face for radio. So I thought that was a compliment until I figured out what it meant. And so here we go. If I sound nasally, I'm getting over this upper sort of respiratory thing.
The rest of the world is.
Usually I sound like Vin Diesel.
I think. Is that what you think?
And look like David Beckham, sort of. So if either one of those aren't the case for you all out there, that's why. I'm blaming completely that. Has anyone ever described your voice, McCall?
Kermit the Frog. I got a lot when I was
one.
A child. Yeah,
better than Animal.
Much. And a lot of people think that I have a sultry singing voice, and that is not the case. Oh. This does not turn
into... At the end, maybe for behind the scenes stuff, we'll let you demonstrate that for us just a little bit. Anyways, so it's January, and we wanted to kind of kick this off as our first like full-length episode of this podcast and talk about something that's usually on everybody's mind. And this time of the year when we get into resolutions and goals and that sort of thing, and we always hear, at least being in the fitness industry and even outside of that in the world, that nutrition and diets and workouts and all that's always the first thing that we hear. And so we wanted to come today and talk about this big topic specifically about diet and nutrition. And something that I've spent a lot of time working with and a good bit of time studying. I'm not a nutritionist, I'll say that. I own a gym, and I do have a lot of experience with nutrition. Coach clients, I'm a nutrition coach, have been coached by nutrition coaches and worked with various nutrition experts over the past. And so one thing I can't stand, and it's not just in nutrition, but anywhere in the world of fitness in this industry, is all the crap people get fed, right? Yeah. And so I wanted to take some time and just put some things on record about not only what I believe and what we believe and teach and coach here at Synergy, but hopefully just some like raw science to encourage anybody out there listening or anybody out there in the community that what not to waste money on, yeah. Quit throwing away, what not to waste your effort on, and instead what to sort of pursue, and hopefully this will be empowering, informational and empowering for people. So with that being said, I would ask you, like, what's your background on nutrition, and throughout your life you've obviously been active and into exercise and fitness, and what's been your experience on the diet side of things?
From the diet side, I've been a vegetarian since I was 5, so I don't really know kind of any other way of doing anything. And for me, it's never been a weight battle. For me, it's always been 100% a strength battle. And so I've tried a million different things. So I would say I usually jump on like the different kind of workout fads. So I did yoga for a long time. I did personal training for a long time. I've tried running a whole bunch, although I'm terrible at that. And it's one of those things where my nutrition has always stayed relatively the same. And because of that, I think my strength has always stayed the same, no matter what I did. Nothing ever changed my weight. Nothing ever changed my muscle tone. Nothing ever made me make progress, no matter how long I stayed with something. So I would say, you know, being a vegetarian and not really ever having gone, you know, one direction. So it's not like I miss meat or miss protein, but protein's always the common topic that I get asked. You know, it's like the joke amongst vegetarians is like, oh, where do you get your protein from, or things like that. And I would say, you know, for a long time, I thought I was getting enough. And so for me, that was never, it was always kind of the response that I would have of, you know, that's not why I'm not gaining strength, or that's not why I'm not doing anything. So for me, nutrition has always been, it's been an important factor, but I've always focused more on the fitness aspect and probably not enough on the nutrition. I think I've jumped on a few fads every once in a while, and that's exactly what it's been. They never last, and they're always 3 weeks and I'm done.
Yeah.
For the most part. So what about you?
That's the fun part, is it's interesting that both of us probably think of nutrition and diet within the fitness paradigm, I think, because we both come from a background, obviously I do this for a living now, but you know, grew a background of playing sports and being active and healthy. And so exercise has never probably not been a part of either one of our lives, like since our adult lives, anyway, since that we can remember. And so same thing with me growing up. And I understand that there's probably a lot of people out there listening to this or watching, or that can't maybe relate to that because they think about diet and nutrition outside of the realm of gyms and outside of fitness. If you're into fitness, you know that nutrition's a part of that. I mean, you don't know how big of a part of it. There's arguments about that in your head maybe, but you know it's a part of that. And a lot of people out there, I think, are, you know, nutrition is just something they're trying to figure out how to not be obese. Like they're not.
And I think a lot of people also too, though, they basically say if I'm in the gym, I don't have to care so much on my nutrition. Right. Or if I'm not in the gym a whole lot, suddenly you're hyper focused on the nutrition.
Sure.
But it doesn't ever seem to be the same at the same time.
And I would say that is more of my story growing up, at least. You know, I was grew up in a redneck town from East Tennessee. And so as a kid, nutrition was never talked about in the house or in school really, or in beside me. I grew up drinking Mountain Dew and eating Pop-Tarts. And I guess we were just active enough. I grew up on a farm that outside of that, played sports, that it never affected my weight. I never really thought twice about it. In fact, if you were too thin, and at a point in my life when I was hitting puberty and all that, that was a struggle, you know, that I remember my mom being an active part of, is worried that I wasn't gaining enough weight. Mm-hmm. You know, back then you got your grandmother at home that grew up in the Great Depression or whatever, and they thought if you were too skinny, it was a sign you were poor or weren't eating enough, right? Yeah. And you hear that, well, she needs a sandwich. Is he eating enough? And you'd ask his mom, you know, and it was this whole, like, almost this innocence about nutrition that is also spawned from ignorance.
Yeah.
And so that was sort of my story until I got into high school and more interested in sports, and then got into the gym and working out. And then it became the other side. It became the bro science of nutrition, right? You want to, back then it was how much do you bench, bro? Yeah. That was your measure of fitness. I played basketball. And so we, it was all about, it was the same thing as always the protein argument. Then how much protein do you need? That's all we need. You know, load it in, protein shakes after every exercise. You
get
know,
it's just,
it was went on and on. And certainly throughout college and, you know, I fell victim to the fad diets that we've all, you know, I remember we would do Atkins 6 weeks before spring break, you know, because got to get those abs out, you know, and bounce back. So it was just, I think that was back then before. That was probably the first big fad diet I can remember.
Yeah.
Before he died, I think, of from his own diet.
Yep.
From heart disease or whatever it was.
There was a California one too, like the beach bod or something that was very big in college.
So it's gone. And so that's been it until I got, you know, educated on it and got into the industry, in the healthcare industry after that, and really realized it's so much simpler, I think, than everybody makes it. And at the same time, it's perhaps so much harder. Simpler, the concepts. Harder to do, right? Harder to pursue. It takes work, and I think everybody's been a part of that thing where they're trying to find the magic pill, you know, and it's still out there. So that's kind of where we start with this. Is like we want to tell you how important is nutrition, how important is figuring this out, and it's the most important thing. It really is. Any doctor or exercise scientist or nutritionist you talk to, they all agree that really is in the base of health, the pillars of health in our lives, nutrition is the foundation. It's number one. It doesn't matter if you're just trying to stave off heart disease or obesity or high blood pressure, or all the way to becoming an elite athlete if you're training for the Olympics or whatever the top of it is, in the military, whatever it is. And you've got to perform. Your body has to be right. Be well. Nutrition's the base. It is. And it's everything. Even in fitness, in the gym, I tell people that really it's 70, 80, if not more percent of performance in our gym. And we're here part of a high fitness, high performing group of our clients, athletes that are trying to achieve high levels of fitness. What they can do, what we've seen even in people, they can do with nutrition alone.
Yeah.
My wife is an example. I give her, doesn't, because of schedule, not able to work out all the time. When she finally started dialing in her nutrition, her performance went through the roof with even less exercise. And that's just to tell you about the importance of this. You can't really say enough about it.
Yeah. I think this, doing a little bit of this program, and I'm sure you'll talk about it here in a second, but doing this for me was the first time that I ever genuinely put as much effort into nutrition as I did in the gym. Right. I mean, that's never happened at the same time for me.
Right.
And it's insane how quickly you notice a difference from just what you're doing in the gym.
Right.
Because you're putting a good foundation.
Same with my story. I think that we say, you know, I've been in part of this industry for a long time now. And for, like I said, back in the day, it was how much you bench, how strong you are. If you're a man from East Tennessee, that's just the way you're taught about fitness. And since I've gotten to the more functional side and sort of changed my philosophy on that, I woke up about a year ago and said, hey, you know, I'm 33 years old. I'm the strongest I've ever been. I can move some weight. It's great. Cool. But I'm also 250 pounds. And that's a true story. I woke up one day about a year ago now, 250 pounds on the scale. I'm 6'2". Mm-hmm. I'm the size roughly of like a big NFL linebacker with none of the athletic ability and certainly not the paycheck. So I was like, what good is this doing me? And I'm like, this, I feel like crap. I look like crap. I'm moving like crap. My son, it wants me to run out around in the backyard. He's 3. He wants me to play soccer with him, climb in trees, throw him around in the pool. Yeah. He's full speed. And I'm a father and a dad. He's never once asked me to lay on the ground and see how much I can lift off my chest.
Yeah.
There's never been a conversation we've had. So I was like, I've got to go the other way with this. And it wasn't until then when I started dialing in my nutrition that I really realized the power of it. And it's been a game changer. So that being that, I think the first place to start would be to say, let's just quickly, if people only have a few minutes to listen to this and want to leave, mm-hmm. let's just tell people what not to do.
Okay.
Let's dispel the myths. And, you know, I'll usually start and kind of go over a general overview of all the information out there, all the best science we've had compiled. Compare that to all the popular culture out there, all the fad diets, all the books being sold, all the documentaries being produced about nutrition. Yeah. And let's find the truth somewhere in the middle. Yeah. And to me, you've maybe tried some of these. I tried some of these. Yep. 90% of diets out there that I see in our culture can be summarized under one big category, and that's elimination diets.
Yeah.
Right? They all seek to tell you what you can't eat, and that's the magic pill. That's what's going to work. Stop eating this or that or a group of things, right? Mm-hmm. I don't care if it's start back with Atkins, which is kind of the first one I remember, right? It's the carbohydrates, right? Yeah. Low carb. And still today, we get pieces of that, the ketogenic diet, the new keto thing, and what's some other ones? We've got...
God, I don't even know at the moment what's been...
Whole 30, I know, is still Whole huge. It's had a lot of recent popular success. The same thing tells you what not to eat.
Yep.
Also, I'll give them credit. Do tell you a lot of what to eat, and we'll talk about that a little bit in a minute. But still, a lot of, we've got to avoid the processed foods. You know, anything comes in a cardboard box, no sugar, none of this and that.
Yeah.
Geez, I know the paleo thing the same way.
Yeah.
Eliminate all this stuff from your diet. Very similar in some ways to the Whole 30 thing. They're all talking about what not to eat. They all start from a basis of negativity.
Yeah.
And that for me is one of the reasons that they all fail, is it gets people's mind first obsessed mentally with what they're doing all day and what they can't have. And as soon as you tell someone they can't have something, what do they want?
Yeah, they want it.
Right?
Yeah,
and you can't get your mind off of it. So, hey, you can't have any birthday cake. It's your birthday, but you can't have birthday cake.
Right.
Well, what are you going to wake up in the morning thinking of on your birthday? Like, well, gosh, I love
all
birthday
All of a sudden
cake.
You want it more than you've had it before.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they fail because they're not sustainable. Mm-hmm. That's what they all have in common.
Yeah.
Whole 30 of them, they name that in their name. 30 days. We want you to do this for 30 days.
Yeah.
Like, are you freaking kidding me? This is going to change. This is the secret
sauce.
It's
going to change your life.
It's going to change my life. And I'm only committing to 30 days. Well, I don't want to commit to anything that's going to change my life for 30 days. Like, that doesn't make sense. That's not a very convincing argument or compelling argument. So it doesn't matter what it is. If it's one of these fad diets, the easiest way to spot a fad diet is they're trying to sell you a book or sell mm-hmm. you a program or something.
Yeah.
The real science of nutrition has been around since the beginning of time, and the information out there is free.
Yeah.
You know, it's hard work, and it's just basic science. And so that is sort of what this generation is trying to escape, because it's not easy. This is what I sort of label as the Dr. Oz generation, right? We mm-hmm. see these things on TV, and I tell the story because it's funny. I remember the first time I was blown away by what was going on. This is probably a couple of years ago now. Some people, they remember, like, there's the raspberry ketones craze. everywhere you go to Walmart, CVS, whatever, you see bottles of these pills, raspberry ketones. And even though some people are smarter, most people are smart enough to know you can't take a pill, and that's not the they really are looking for a magic pill.
Yeah.
And it's a joke. That's the phrase. It quit looking for a magic pill. Yet they see a bottle full of pills and they'll buy it. They made millions and millions of dollar industry off these raspberry ketones. And Dr. Oz did a show and came out and started, you know, giving these out to people and telling how great it was. And it just blew up. And you could just see the look on people's faces. Like, I know somewhere back in East Tennessee at home, one of my friend's moms was saying, "Hey, you know what, Betty, that I've always known there's something wrong with me." And there, Dr. Oz said it. It's those little acetyl elements from the raspberry that gives off the fragrance of the raspberry. That's what it would be. I knew it was something, and I haven't been getting enough of that. I knew I hadn't.
Yeah.
Like, what? Come on.
Yeah.
You know, she's sitting there eating her bag of potato chips on the couch, and
but
she's
going.
But these pills are going to fix it. And so it's that whole thing that still goes on. We want to believe it. We want to buy the Gazelle 5000 Ab Blaster Gel Pro. We want whatever we can get to fix our problem easily.
Yeah.
And we all know that, right? What problems in life can never be fixed easily?
Yeah.
Right?
And it really sets you up for failure from the very beginning. You know, I mean, if you're taking something away and you know, this is my time frame, I have 30 days, you go into it knowing at some point you get to stop it.
Right.
You know,
oh, yeah.
You know, so you're so hyper-fixated.
You can't wait.
I'm like, I have seven more days and I'm almost to my, you know, weight. And that's for me was always these things. I jump on with my friends. You know, your friend's always looking for like somebody to do it with them.
Right.
Because you can never do it by yourself. And so that's, you know, you're always waiting for the end of this elimination diet.
Right. So that's sort of the myth side of it. Spot a myth. If you know it's a fad, if someone's trying to sell you a book, someone's trying to sell you a pill, someone's trying to sell you anything, what I'll talk about today, it doesn't even cost you anything. Is don't fall for it. Don't waste your money, please. Give it to me or something. Don't throw it away. Don't waste your time and effort on it. You know it hasn't worked in the past and it's not going to work again. But let's know what the truth is. So here's the truth. And I think more people already know the truth than they care to let on. But here's the deal. It's 2018.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? January. If you still can't lose weight and lose fat, it's because you're still eating too much. Mind blown. That's the truth. You don't have bad genetics. It's not because your mama was big and her mama was big and you're big. Here's the thing. Your mama ate too much and her mama ate too much and so on and so forth. Now, do genetics play a role in our metabolism? Of course. I mean, genetics, you know, we all have different genetic potentials and genes are a big deal. But they've looked for years. Scientists still haven't discovered a, quote, fat gene. Mm-hmm. Doesn't exist.
Right.
Just like they haven't discovered the LeBron James gene.
Right.
He's genetically better at basketball than me. Like, no amount of hard work or science or reading I could ever do is going to deliver me to the basketball player that LeBron James is.
Yeah.
He's got better genetics than I do. Great. That's just the way it is. He call him lucky or blessed or fortunate, whatever you want. But the fact is I can still play basketball.
Yeah.
And I did. And I was decent at it, not LeBron James. That's the fact. I can still work at something and I can excel to the best of my ability at it.
Yeah.
That's the same truth about diet. It's nothing secret. It's not all the glutens. It's not sugars not making you fat.
Yeah.
Fat's not making you fat. Bacon's not making you fat. Only inside of those things, by eating too much of any of that, too many calories, too much food, and you're not burning the food, that's what's making you fat.
Yeah.
We know that. Quit putting butter in your coffee. It's still dumb.
Yeah.
If y'all are doing that, quit thinking insulin's your biggest enemy. If you're a healthy person, it's not.
Yeah.
You know, a diabetic person or otherwise, then you got an issue there. Your body is your fault.
Yeah.
It is. And it's your responsibility. Your health is your fault. It's also your responsibility. So when you excel at it, you get the credit for that. When you fail at it, you have to take accountability and responsibility for that.
Yeah.
And it all goes down to one thing that if I could sum this up, this whole podcast up in one phrase from a geeky standpoint, it would be simply that just know that the laws of thermodynamics that have been around since the beginning of science, they're still there, people.
Yeah.
They can't be broken. Your body is a giant test tube. That's what you got to think of it like. What you put in your body matters.
Yeah.
What comes out of your body matters. Okay?
Yeah.
We put food in our body in the form of energy. We call those calories. Calories are a unit of energy. It's not this evil little devil demon inside of food that make you fat. Okay. Yeah. It's a unit of energy, a unit of heat. It's like if you burned the energy in our body, burned the fat, it would give off heat and it'd be measured in calories. Yep. Okay. Put too many calories in our body, they stay there and you get bigger. You gain weight.
Yep.
Get fatter. You could put on muscle. You just gain weight. And we'll talk about how that breaks down later, but it's a balance. It's a mathematical equation. Calories go in, calories go out. If one side's bigger than the other, you gain weight. If the other side's bigger than the other, you lose weight. If they balance themselves out, you stay the same.
Yeah.
Boom. Again, so simple, right?
Yeah. So if somebody needed to, like, where do you even start with this? I mean, so, you know, if it's pretty basic, I mean, what's the first thing you would tell somebody?
Yeah. So if I met someone, they're like, I'm brand new to this, never done this before. You don't want to overwhelm them. Like, we could do a quick overview of, like, counting macros. And we'll talk about that a little bit down there. Macronutrients, all these, this energy I tell people about, these calories, they only come from three sources inside of food: fat, protein, and carbohydrates. Mm-hmm. Sugar is not one of those. Sugar is a carbohydrate. Yeah. Sugar is a micronutrient, right? There's only three ways your body gets this energy. And how we use those and apply those three things, how much fat we get versus how much carbohydrates versus how much protein, on a micro level starts mattering. It depends on how healthy it creates health. We can use it to build muscle. Yeah. We can use it to lose fat. We can manipulate that equation with experience. But for most people, that's way too complicated. Especially someone new, brand new to this. So anybody out there listening that's like, hey, you're talking like level 10 stuff right here.
Yeah.
I'm on level one. We'll make it very simple. And again, this is common sense that I think most of you all realize. And if it all came down to one sentence, and I'm ripping this off 100%, I'll give the credit. Michael Pollan is the one that, and if you all have read any of his books or seen documentaries of his stuff, it's excellent. I'd say go check it out. I told everyone I'm not trying to sell them a book, but his stuff is good.
Yeah.
And his stuff is so simple and so intuitive that I think most people would just buy it on the surface. And it's very simple. It's eat real food, not too much of it, mostly plants.
Pretty basic.
How's that?
Pretty basic.
So you take that simple equation, eat real food. What's real food? Anything that grew out of the ground or had a mom or dad.
Mm-hmm.
That's something that was living at one time in one way or the other. That's real food. Something not made in a factory.
Yeah.
Something living. Real food. Simple. Not too much. A little bit more complicated. It begs that question about how much is too much. We'll give you an easy way to tackle that. Not too much of it. Because we just said that eating too much food is how you got fat.
Yeah.
Right? So don't eat too much of it. Lastly, mostly plants. You can poll any nutritionist, any dietitian, well, except the ones trying to sell you their books of something different. Any academic, institutional nutritionist, doctor, give them that sentence, 95% of them are going to agree with you. Say, yep, makes sense. Like, there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. And nothing had to be eliminated. I mean, it's all what you can add, what you can change.
Didn't say what you can't eat. Right. So when we get down to that, and if the funny thing about that is that really, like, if I think about the four most, like, popular diets that are still around, made the most money, like the most successful diets that had sustained power, right? They all funnel right there into what he said: eat real food, not too much, mostly plants. You think about the recent Whole30. We talked about that whole craze at Real Food. Yeah, paleo. Yeah, Whole30. That's real food. That's all they're about. Get rid of processed junk food. Yeah. Eat real food. Weight Watchers, The Zone.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Oprah was invested in that at one point. I mean, it was multi-billion-dollar industry, still around, been around forever.
Yep.
Not too much. That's their thing, right?
Yep.
The Zone, the weight, they
eat
use
what
points.
Eat what you want and moderate.
Eat what you want, figure out how to moderate it, and let us tell you how much to eat.
Yep.
So I give a lot of credit to those groups because they were some of the first ones that quit focusing on what not to eat. And they finally started focusing on how much to eat.
Mm-hmm.
Very few people talk about how much. Lots of people talk about what.
Mm-hmm.
So they had a lot of credit. And then lastly, that mostly plants. Well, we know the recent rise in the vegan movement, and even that you mentioned yourself, the vegetarian movement, and so many documentaries and stuff out there, which I will say I think doesn't necessarily come from a scientific basis of nutrition and performance as much as it's driven by the decrepit state of our food system here in this country.
And I think it's about getting back to not processed food. I mean, the core of it is really getting back to what's a real food.
Right.
You know,
you're right. Yeah. And so it's that all those things have good science behind them.
Yeah.
And that's where we start. So inside of that, what's a easy way to do it? Right here. I'll take this tray. This is McCall brought this in. They make cheaper versions. This is a fancy one. If you're not watching the video of this and you're just listening to the podcast, I've got just one of those food tray, like food prep containers, I guess they call these. Yep. Like you buy these at any place.
Sectioned off a little bit.
Yeah. You get these anywhere things are gotten. Yep. I don't know. But this is one of those little tray food dishes. It's got a big side and then two equally divided little sides to it. And this makes it so simple. All you've got to do, if you want to go from, I'll say an F, grade yourself on your nutrition. If you're obese, mm-hmm. you know, you're doing your high blood pressure, whatever, maybe you're an F, D minus, whatever you think you are.
Yeah.
If you want to get there to a B, like I'm doing better than almost everybody. Mm-hmm. The only people better than me are the A students.
You're right.
Like I'm passing, I'm doing well. This is all you've got to do. Fill up this little side right here. I'm pointing to one of the little thirds here of protein, a protein source, your meat. Think about if you're not a vegetarian, your meat could be lentils or eggs or something if you're vegetarian, I guess, or whatnot.
Beans,
but like beans, your protein source right here in this side. Okay. This other side right here, starchy carbohydrates. You think about this as your carb source. So I'm talking about potatoes or rice, or I guess if you figure out how to shove bread in there if you want to, probably not the easiest thing, but starchy vegetables, squash, you know, we talk those kind of things right here. And this side of it, protein, carbohydrate source. On top of one of these, or mixed in, or cooked with whatever you put in this, fat, add a fat. What are fats? Oils, butter, whatever it is, grass-fed butter, whatever you're using, about the size of your thumb. Yeah. On here, sprinkle it on here, whatever you're doing, cheese would be a fat.
And I love you said add a fat. You know, nobody ever says add a fat.
Right. We're assuming here, and we're not going to go into exquisite detail on this, but when I say protein source, again, I'm talking about real food, right? Mm-hmm. I'm not talking about processed sausage and bacon and cold cut salami. Right. I'm talking about real meat that was living, the chicken. They cut up a chicken, put it here. They cut up a steak and put it in here. You want to have lean fish, lean sources of protein right here.
Yep.
Add some fat to it. However you want, get your fat, size of a thumb. You fill up the rest of this right here with vegetables.
Easy.
Fill all this up with vegetables and eat it all. Protein, carbohydrate, starchy, carbohydrate, fruit. Fruit would go on the carbohydrate side. Fruit, carbohydrate source, grains, whatever here. Veggies right here. Fill it up and eat it. Here's the rule. You can't go any higher than this thing in meat or protein source. You can't go any higher than this in your carbohydrate or starch source. You must go at least this high in vegetables. And then on top of this, any extra vegetables you want are unlimited. You can eat all you want here in your leafy green, non-starchy vegetables, whatever you want. Fill it up. Real food, not too much. Mostly plants, right? Yeah, how easy is that?
Really easy.
If you're a normal size person, we'll say we kind of use the number 165 pounds or less, man or woman. Three of these a day. You eat three of these a day. If you're a bigger person over 165 pounds, you get four of these a day. That's it. No snacks in between. That's it. This is literally I talk a lot at this gym about like Ben Bergeron, in my opinion, one of the best fitness coach in the world right now.
Yeah.
At least in our industry, recognizes that. This is what he does. This is simple as that. This is him when he wants to dial his own nutrition in, and he knows all the science upon every macro counting, every zone block, all that. He just does this. He goes, no, I just take one of these, eat four of these a day, and that's it. And then outside of that, you could talk about for elite athletes pursuing performance post and pre-workout nutrition and talk about maybe adding some protein shakes in after that. But for most people out there, 90% of you all that are trying to get from an F to an A, start with this. You don't have to be the kind of person like eats four meals a day out of this like some weirdo at your dinner table.
Right,
you could just put it in there and throw it on your plate and make a normal meal out of it. You know, and
use
and
it as a
gauge. Use it as a gauge. And this will get you far enough.
Yeah.
It really will. So that's my first piece of advice. Literally will work for anyone and everyone, especially those that are trying to make baby steps to get them to a big place.
When
baby
I started that, it was steps. Interesting because learning first what really was a carb or what really was in my foods, you know?
Right.
So a lot of times I was eating like fruit thinking like, oh, I had an apple, you know, I'm so healthy to think I had an apple. I mean, an apple's a really high carb source
right.
and things like that. So, I mean, even just starting with kind of understanding like what is you know, healthy fats, what is carbs, what is all this kind of stuff. And it makes putting that together easy.
I think people know, like in the back of their head when they go to the grocery store, mm-hmm. they, although they have no idea what's in food, even if they guess, some people do, but they go to the store and they still have common sense. Most people do, and they know what they ought to buy and what not. Mm-hmm. Like everyone knows like the shop on the outside of the store thing now and avoid the cardboard box stuff in the aisles. And that usually comes down to that real food thing. But like you said, I think very few people know actually how to answer that question, how much. Mm-hmm. First of all, they don't know how much is in the food they're eating, even the real food.
Yeah.
You know, they think they might be, you know, they might be eating a pound of beef brisket that barbecued up at the restaurant and think that's the same protein source as a pound of chicken.
Yeah.
And it's not. The fat content are both wildly different. You go to the steakhouse, they thought, well, I got a steak, it's lean, I got broccoli on the side. They don't realize, oh, your steak was cooked in 40 grams of butter, you know, and fat. And by the way, it was already had 56 grams of fat in the steak. You got that filet. Great that you had that broccoli on the side. Like, well done, man. You just had a 1,200 calorie meal.
Yeah.
I'm glad you skipped the bread or whatever. You know, it's just like they don't know. And sometimes people need help and a little guidance of that. But that, you can't go wrong there.
Yeah.
Fill up that plate with mostly vegetables. Hard for some people. Hard for me. I'm not a huge vegetable fan. But that, no one's ever come in to the doctor and said, well, doc, here I am obese, got high blood pressure, and I really think it's all that broccoli. It's killing me.
Right.
Like I've just been, I can't stop, you know, said no one ever. So it's just, it's really is that simple.
Yeah.
Not easy to do maybe at first.
But a good meal prep strategy. I mean, so easy if you know that you're going to have 2 or 3 days that are going to be really hectic, I mean, it's so easy to take that as your source. Prep it, and you don't have to think about it all the
time. It is. We used to do, I'm not a huge meal prepper, just with the pace of my life, it's hard, but the most successful people we've had in our clients in this do a version of that. Maybe not all week, every meal, but maybe on a Sunday afternoon, they will make 2 or 3 recipes. They'll divide it up into some trays like that, and maybe that'll be their lunches they take to work with them for the week, 5 of them, or maybe a couple meals a day. And it keeps them disciplined. It keeps them accountable, keeps them on track. And I think it's great. Not, doesn't work for my life necessarily. I'm a full-time dad in a gym. I'm in and out running around all the time. But for a lot of people that's it. You know, if they're going this on their own, if they're not getting help from anybody else, that I think that's the best place to start.
Yeah.
I really do.
So what about the people that need some support? I mean, is there a period of time where somebody should get a coach? I mean, is it easy to do on your own?
I think so. I think there is a time for that, and it can be from the beginning. And for some people, that's best. Here's the funny thing about coaching. It's kind of the buzzword these days. There's coaches for everything. There's life coaches.
Yeah.
For goodness sakes, I still don't know what that is. Maybe you.
I know a little bit.
Do you? Okay. Yeah. McCall. For the record, I think McCall's probably hired a life coach before.
It's a life cheerleader.
So there's coaches for everything in the world right now. And the funny thing, like I'm a coach, I own a gym, I coach fitness classes, I coach people nutrition, and like it's so true. The funny thing about coaching is it starts not just by having someone in your corner that maybe knows more about this than you.
Yeah.
It starts just by having someone else that knows what you're doing and has to report. You see reports of that, and you know someone else is going to see this.
Mm-hmm.
It's
the same reason people, you know, when they start like Whole 30 or something, and they always grab a friend.
Always.
And say, do you want to do this with me? You want to start?
Because they know they're going to do better.
Yeah.
It's the same. I come in here and there's these rowers back here, and I tell people, like, it's funny. I see it every day in class. I could tell someone, hey, I want you to do a max effort row here for 30 seconds, which you row as hard as you can. And I can put a group of people in these rowers, sit there and watch them. They're rowing as hard as they can. And then if I just start walking behind the rower where I can see their screen and I can see the pace at what they're rowing at, as soon as I walk behind it, the pace gets faster immediately.
Now,
so they gave more effort when I started watching. I see it all the time. Yeah. It could be any exercise. They were supposed to be going max effort already, but they weren't. They weren't giving it their best effort until I was watching and they knew that. And I see that. I do that in my own life. I've had the same experience with having a coach. Yeah. I think it starts there with having accountability. And so that's the same reason you said, Sy, bring a friend in with you.
Yeah.
It starts with accountability. That's the invaluable part of having a coach that you have to report what's going on to.
Yeah.
It starts with having buy-in and skin in the game. Usually you've got to pay a coach unless you've found someone's going to do it for free.
Yeah.
So usually you've put skin in the game. So now you've incentivized yourself with a little bit of pain. Like, I've lost this money and now I've paid for this. I'm going to do it.
Yep.
Doesn't always work. Certainly people bought the Ab Blaster Pro or whatever and it sits in their basement now,
right.
But it at least helps initially.
Mm-hmm.
this is a human, this is a living ab blaster pro, right? This is a human that's going to say, hey, I didn't hear from you this week. Where are you? What's mm-hmm. happened? And so it's a little harder to get away from that with a coach. And then I would say lastly is there is, when you're wanting to go, even whether you're trying to go from a D to a B or a D all the way to an A, I always say like there's this next level to nutrition. There's getting to a B, which is like, okay, I'm not obese. My blood pressure's in check. My body fat's reasonable. Cholesterol's better. All these sort of things we look at. Then when you're like, no, I've got certain goals. Mm-hmm. Like I'm actually wanting to pursue excellence in nutrition, excellence in fitness. Maybe you've got aesthetic goals. I mean, we all do, right?
Yeah.
We all,
yeah.
I don't know if it's that beach bod, six pack abs thing or whatever, whatever it is, or you've got a size of pants you'd rather fit into or whatever it is. We've all got these little goals that we're kind of secretive and private about, but they're still there. I mean, we're all in the gym here because we want to look better naked. I mean, I tell people that it sounds like a joke, but it's true, right?
So what you're also saying is that it's not just necessarily about the people who are trying to lose weight and have a significant amount of weight to lose, but it's about people who, and that was part of why I got into it. And it's part of why I went to you guys as well, is that for a year, like total plateau. I mean, no changes, nothing progressed, nothing got better. I didn't necessarily need to lose weight or, you know, yes, you always want to look better. But for me, it was just always like, I'm putting so much effort in 4 or 5 days a week.
Right.
And it's the same thing every day, month after month, week after week. And
absolutely.
It's not the programming. It's that, you know, I'm doing it all and
absolutely.
It's just not doing anything.
And that's what I think that I've hired a nutrition coach. Like I have one right now. I use one. I am a nutrition coach. I know how to adjust macro numbers and I know all the science behind it, but I hired that and I'm really not trying to lose any weight, so to speak. I've got performance goals, but I hired a coach because of those reasons, because I want someone in my corner. I want the accountability. I want to have to have paid somebody so I know I'm going to do it. And I want someone that can look at me with a set of objective eyes, see what's going on. Like, cause we're all our harshest critic, right? We're all like, we look at the scale every day, we get dejected, we get depressed, we look at how these clothes are fitting, we feel bloated. Every day, it's like we're always having this internal conversation with ourselves that we're not having this other person. Mm-hmm. So this other person gets an objective view of, hey, now here's actually what's happening. I can see this in photos. I see this in your performance in the gym and logs. And we're looking at the long term here over time. And it's so encouraging to get that when you finally like, oh, you take a step back, you're right. Like it's not as bad as it seems. And so that's why I do it.
Yeah. The progress really comes then from the consistency.
It does.
So the coach is the person that in the weeks, and I do this a lot too, is, you know, you have a bad week.
Right.
And so you rationalize your bad week. It was okay that I didn't, you know, hit here and hit here because I had a bad week and that's fine.
Right.
This was acceptable behavior in a bad week. And it's nice to have a person that says, but here's a reminder of what your goals were originally.
Exactly. And so that's sort of how we structure our program here. We have a program we call Synergy Nutrition, which you've been a part of. It's we do take that science down to the next level. This is A, trying to get to an A. You know, that's what we're talking about. And we base things on those macronutrients I discussed. Mm-hmm. We have experience and knowing how to adjust those numbers. We won't get all into that today. There's too much information there. But those three macronutrients all have a caloric value assigned to them, just scientifically. And how that breakdown happens in your body, how we play that math equation, will affect how we help people reach their goals, whether they're trying to build muscle and build strength. Some people come in here and need to gain weight, honestly, in the terms of strength, and that's what they're pursuing. Whether people need to get leaner and still have some body fat they want to lose to meet their goal, or whatever their goal is, we can do, honestly, like 90% of it with nutrition.
Yeah.
You know, without even touching a barbell and without even talking about how going for a mile run or whatever, we can do so much of it with just nutrition and playing that numbers game. And it is the most sustainable way to coach someone into thinking about food. It's like a new way of life almost. I tell people that I look at food now as numbers. Mm-hmm. And that's depressing for some people because I know there's foodies out there that go to these restaurants and like to have this fancy food floating on a pillow that gets served to them and all this weird stuff. But
yeah.
I've never been that. I want to try to get people to get rid of the emotional attachment to food
mm-hmm.
because that's honestly what's gotten our country and our society in the shape it's in.
Mm-hmm.
30% of our country is obese, not fat, not overweight, obese, like could die from this right now. And it's because they have an emotional attachment to food. That's it. That's what feeds them to eating too much. Not a genetic attack, an emotional attachment to food.
Yep.
And if we can stop thinking about that, food is an energy source. That's what it's there for. It's an energy source to fuel us for our life, whatever that looks like, whether it's sports, whether it's exercise, whether it's being a dad or mom, whether it's a businessman or businesswoman, whatever it is, food is there to fuel that. It's a fuel source. It's numbers. And we have to start thinking about food that way to be successful. Mm-hmm. And I think, for me, it's been freeing. I look at a Pop-Tart, and I don't just see a Pop-Tart that tastes good. I see a Pop-Tart that's now 26 grams of carbohydrates, 8 grams of fat, and 0 protein. Mm-hmm. And I know, well, here's the goals I've got to hit today. Seeing that Pop-Tart's those numbers doesn't change the way it tastes, by the way. I still eat it. It still tastes great. I love Pop-Tarts. Right. You know what I mean? It still tastes awesome. But I know now mentally I have this connection with it. It's not emotional. It's like, hey, I have these buckets I've got to reach every day. I've got a protein goal, a carbohydrate goal, and a fat goal. They're all together working towards me meeting my goals. And so if I eat this Pop-Tart and it fills up this bucket really high and this bucket really high and it doesn't help me out in this bucket at all, I know I'm going to run into problems later on in the day.
Yeah.
So I can then have some science behind the decision I'm about to make, and I feel educated. And I'm like, well, I can resist that.
Yep.
Or I can eat it. It's also freeing. It's like, hey, this food's not evil. The diet I'm on hasn't demonized that food. I can eat that.
Yep.
I've just got to make adjustments somewhere else in my life to account for it.
Yeah.
So that's how we sort of run things here. Mm-hmm. You've been a part of that. We help people figure out what those numbers are.
Yep.
We help people stay accountable and track those. We help people figure out how to reach those numbers based on foods they like.
Mm-hmm.
We've got vegans that do this, vegetarians like you. We've got people that don't eat gluten, that have sensitivity to that. We've got people that this fits any diet paradigm you're working within.
Yeah.
Because it's eating the foods you want just in the right amount.
Yeah.
In moderation.
And understanding what you're eating. I mean, so much of that is, you know, exactly how I eat is, you know, either it's usually pretty veggie heavy,
right.
And I mix in some eggs and things like that. But I know that if my math is right in the morning, the rest of my day is a breeze.
Right.
Because if I hit what I need to hit in the morning, you're not restricted. You're not whatever, you know, you can grab, you know, whatever you want to eat from the fridge because you know mathematically where it lines up in your day.
Right.
And you know that if you did well in the morning, you know, you've got some flexibility in the afternoon. So you
sure.
don't really feel like you're playing this, you know, elimination game at any point. You're really playing
right.
the math game.
And it does to me become sustainable once mm-hmm. you figure it out. Once you figure
yeah.
out how to become
the
math.
It takes a little bit.
It takes a little bit. It's yeah. intense at first. That's what I tell people.
But that's where the coach was really helpful.
That's yeah. I think so. I think for people, I know people try this on their own mm-hmm. and I get the question, I'm like, what shot of macros should I start with? And it's a tough question because, hey, I just gave you the LeBron James, Will Hamilton difference. Like everybody is so different. It's all over the place. Like all of y'all have different metabolisms. Your lives look different. Like
food sensitivities, food preferences.
I mean, everything.
Yeah.
Like how, where do we start? And so there's some places you can start. I mean, we have a person, like one of my clients, not a very lean, hardly anybody fat. She's eating over 3,000 calories a day right now just to maintain her weight. Doing
right.
a lot of running, marathon training, this sort of thing. She eats over 1,000 more calories a day than I eat.
Right.
And I'm 220 pounds, you know, and I could take someone the same size as her, doing the same workouts as her and everything else, and put them on 2,000 calories a day, and they must be gaining weight.
Mm-hmm.
Where this person's eating over 3,000 calories a day, and I can't keep weight on them. And it's everybody's so different.
Mm-hmm.
There are some great, like if you're like, I'm not ready to go in and buy and spend money on a coach. There's online calculators that If It Fits Your Macros group has a great one. You can go in and put some information in. I did it myself before I came and we started this. Like, what would they tell me to do right now? Put my stuff in there. And it was off by something like 800 calories through
oh,
working
wow.
with my coach that I know is supporting my body weight and my goals right now. It was 800 calories higher. So
higher.
I would be, if I had followed that, I would not be losing weight, probably be gaining weight. And the macros were completely different. That's just way off. And it's an online calculator. You all know this, that it's only
generic.
As good. It's going to ask you 4 or 5 questions. It's going to use algorithms and it's going to try to guess. And you know, I don't know what it is. It's like throwing a blindfold on yourself and throwing a dart at the dartboard. It might hit in the middle and it might be perfect for you. What it's certainly not going to do is provide you accountability.
Mm-hmm.
It's not for free anyways.
Yeah.
They probably all have a paid version you can do that with. It's not going to provide you someone in your corner supporting you, answering questions, helping you. It's not going to provide adjustments along the way. Now, my macros started, when I started tracking my macronutrients to meet my goals, I was consuming about 300 grams of carbs a day at the beginning.
Oh, wow.
And over time, I'm down to 185 now
yeah.
a day. It's kind of what I just tell people that. People are like, it's crazy. Like, that sounds like a ton of carbs at first, right? Just an example I'm giving. It sounds like I'm starving now. No, neither one is the
yeah.
is the case. 300 grams of carbs isn't as much for someone exercising as you would think it is. Those
yeah.
get filled up pretty fast. And they were fun eating those. They were. And getting to one, but how would I have ever made that journey
mm-hmm.
without someone helping me make it? I would have fallen on my face and failed. So that's
and
just
the key
example.
Point there that you know, periodically when it seems, you know, like a low amount, you know, 1500 calories a day or something like that, when you break it down, it's, you know, for me it was 155 grams of carbs. It's different than if you're getting, you know, different grams of whatever. So 1500 calories broken down into the right macronutrients, you're not hungry.
Right.
And I was blown away by probably week 6 or week 7 that I was feeling better. I was feeling lighter. I was feeling more energetic. I was getting better sleep. All of this was happening.
Right.
And I was eating less technically,
right,
but feeling better and having more energy.
It, right,
you know, in your head, based on all these other diets, it didn't make any sense.
It doesn't.
But it's really interesting once you finally break it down into these thirds.
I think so. It's like eat real food, mostly plants, not too much of it. And it's just that it's learning. You could do this, and people ask, could I just count calories then? Why worry about the macros? Yes, you could. Theoretically, if you could count calories in every calorie that went in your body, and you knew what your metabolic rate was, and you could figure that out, you could just do it with calories and lose weight. What you couldn't do without knowing the macro breakdown of that is figure out how to make that weight be just fat, which is probably what you want if you're trying to lose weight. You don't want to lose muscle. I don't know anybody's like, I got too much muscle, want to get rid of it.
Right.
You know, it's understanding how those macronutrients play on a micro level inside of our body. It takes a little bit of experience knowing how to make those adjustments, knowing how they affect how we feel and affect our appetite, like, you know, and how, you know, every macro, fat and carbohydrates are both used as different energy sources in our body. One fuels exercise more, one fuels kind of body function more. And it's knowing how to do that and still feel good, still feel like you're sharp mentally, still be able to sleep well at night, not wake up hungry. But you're right, goes back to the real food, not too much, mostly plants. Like you said, calorie dense foods. If you fill up that side of that plate with vegetables, all the broccoli, you can eat a bucket of broccoli in the world, you'll be stuffed, like you're gonna be sick, you've eaten so much food, the volume of it, all the fiber, all the micronutrients you've gotten from that, you might not have had a 200 calories.
Right.
You know, it's like, it's like those foods, guess what, don't have a ton of calories in them.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they're useful, that's why we say that. It's, again, common knowledge, basic science, common sense, whatever you wanna call it. But it's the way you have to do it. It really is, there's no other way. You've got to eat less.
So,
you've got to exercise more.
Yeah.
You know, that's the
very
truth.
Very simple. It's,
yeah.
I mean, it's really
quit
easy
eating.
To think. That's why a lot of times I think people probably don't believe that it's that simple, but it really, I mean, it's been such an interesting journey of these last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
But where would you say that people fail the most?
Yeah, that's, that, you know, when people ask about pitfalls and where they fail, it's, I would say there's probably two or three. The first one is, I think if the diet's not, we talked about this, not sustainable to begin with.
Yeah.
If it's an elimination diet telling you you can never eat this again,
You're
going to
last 3 weeks.
No, it's going to never have. They never will work. You know, you're going to want that thing all the time. It's not going to work. It's going to fail. And so anything that's not sustainable, I think learning how to eat foods, just the right amounts of them, and saying, hey, I can eat what I want if I can make it fit in these buckets. That I've been doing it for 2 years, and I don't stick with anything. I'm the most ADD, like bounce around everywhere.
Yeah.
I've been doing this myself, like logging my own food, not just coaching people, but logging my own food for 2 years now. So if I can do it, anybody can do it, literally. And like I said, I grew up on Mountain Dew and Pop-Tarts.
Right.
And sometimes I still enjoy both of those.
Yeah.
That's
in moderation.
Should put that on the behind the scenes stuff. But it's true. And so if I can do that, anybody can. Secondly, I would say in our society, the number one killer of diets is eating out. It has to be. It's convenient. It tastes good. Most people at nice restaurants or fast food are better at cooking food than you are.
Mm-hmm.
I understand the reason for it. I eat out a lot myself, and I understand the reason for it. But the problem is we really have no idea what's in that food.
Yeah.
There's places, I get places that post their nutrition facts, and some are better than others. And learning those, again, I've had a coach that helped me, like, here's some 5 restaurants where they've actually done scientific tests on the food, and they match the macros that they say are in it. And so that was helpful for me. But you go out to a steakhouse or something, and you get, even if you try to estimate how much fat or how much carbohydrates is in this thing of this lobster mac and cheese you're eating or whatever it is, you're going to be so off. You have no idea. And it is just, it'll just kill you. It will. The amount of fat, it's usually that. It's either way
butter
too much fat in it, or there's way in the sweet side. There's way so much sugar in there. That's what's making your taste buds light up and be so happy. It's a killer. And I tell the quick examples. The other night I went to a friend's house football game. They had wings there. And 5 wings, and they were not even the fried wings. They were the grilled, or they were from Taco Mac. And they were like these, I figure what they call them, char grilled or roasted, I think, or whatever. I was like, all right, not fried, no wings, plain, not a lot of sauce. I'm starving. It's chicken, protein source. Like, I'm going to eat this and estimate it. And I ate five of them. Wasn't even the size of my fist.
And
like
not
five,
very many.
Yeah, no, yeah, five little. I was still hungry afterwards, but I still ate them. And I went home later and I was like, well, I got to track this. So I was like, well, Taco Mat's a chain. They've got the nutrition facts on it. I'll look up what I had. And I looked up those five wings.
How much?
And it was like something like 58 grams of fat that I consumed. 50 and five wings around the size of my fist.
What a waste.
And I'm like, what is it? What? How did they even do that? First of all, did they inject this with like some super saturated fat? Like, they didn't even fry these things.
Yeah.
And it just, and I eat 60 grams of fat a day. So in those five little wings, I consumed my entire allotment for the day in fat, which, by the way, I'd already eaten most of my fat for that day. So what it is, it killed my day. Yeah. And people wonder why they're overweight and can't lose weight. Well, here's the rocket science genius. Quit going out to eat so much. Yep. Eat at home, go to the grocery store, buy the real food. Don't buy too much of it. Don't eat too much of it. Go home, cook it, prepare it, put it in those trays and eat it. Most of you out there will lose weight and find success just from that. So that would be the second one. And the third one is one that's not fun to talk about. It's one we all enjoy, or a lot of us enjoy, and that's alcohol. Oh. Honestly.
Yeah.
I see that as a big pitfall. Maybe it's, I say in my social circles, maybe I hang out with too many drinkers. I don't know. But alcohol, it's a weird thing in our body. It's not a macronutrient. It has no macronutrients in it at all, actually. If you're just drinking pure grain alcohol or whatever,
yeah.
You know, beer and wine have carbohydrates in it, and obviously mixed drinks. But alcohol itself has no macronutrients, but it does have caloric value. Which, so it's one of these weird things. It's weird because it's actually a poison, like it's a toxin to our body. And I think we know that. Like we know our, we drink.
Yeah,
and
you know that the next morning.
Yeah, yeah, you'll already know it. And if you don't know why you're drinking, you know it the next morning, right? And so, and we know like when you're consuming alcohol, your body has to actually start your liver has to metabolize that alcohol. Because it's a poison. It's trying to get it out. And we know that it metabolizes alcohol like one drink an hour. Like that's, everybody's heard that and knows that. So what it's doing, though, what people don't get is it's not metabolizing anything else. Yep. Your body shifts to metabolizing that alcohol. So not only have you consumed the calories in the alcohol, but you're not metabolizing any of the other food that you're probably eating while you're drinking.
Yeah.
And that's where people, I think, really run into a pitfall. It's not the alcohol causing them to get fat directly. Not always. It's the food they're eating with it that the alcohol is holding up. Not to mention that once you start drinking, you start making bad decisions. We all know that from college.
Yeah.
But that you start, you know, you quit thinking about what you're eating. You quit worrying about it. You know, if I'm going to take me to a concert, give me three or four or five or however many drinks, I'm definitely going to ask to stop by Taco Bell on the way home. Like it's going to happen. Like it's just the way it is. Yeah. So that's sort of the three pitfalls that I see people get into a lot. Get rid of those. I think you'll have some success. So anything else you think?
I think that's a good summary. And I think it's been incredibly eye-opening. And I think even for myself personally, the change in the gym for the first time out of all of the different, you know, fitness fads I've joined, if anything, for the first time ever, I'm making progress. And it's crazy.
Yeah.
You know, I finally feel like, oh my God, I've been wasting like Lord knows how much in membership fees everywhere. But for 7 years,
right,
made no progress whatsoever. And in the last 9 to 12 weeks that I've been doing this, more progress.
And we see that in all of our clients. You're harnessing the power of nutrition. Once they get it, without even really working out all that much, the people that are getting stronger, they're PRing all these lifts, they're getting faster in their runs, they're looking better in the mirror, all these things, just by dialing in that nutrition, whether it was simply going from a D to an B, like we talked about doing the food, or whether they got a coach and like, no, I'm taking this to the next level. I'm going to pursue excellence in this. It'll blow your mind what you can do when you can, with like you said, consistently do it right. You don't have to be perfect, but do it well and do it consistently and watch what happens. Watch what happens in your body. Watch what happens in your life. Watch what happens in your mood. Watch what happens with your sleep, your performance at work. Just watch what happens in the whole spectrum of your life just by focusing on that. And I really think most people will be blown away.
That's awesome.
So we'll end that here, and I'll say out there, if you're watching the video, if anybody's got any questions out there, not a part of our gym, put us a comment, send us a message, whatever, and we'll try to help out and answer those as best we can. But we hope this was just some good basic information. Hopefully it was empowering. Hopefully I don't come off as judgmental and smart. Yes, if you're still fat, it's because you're eating too much. Quit eating too much, and you will lose weight. don't go buy any of Dr. Oz's or anybody else's books. Don't buy any pills. You don't need any of that.
It's not in a raspberry.
Don't spend money. It's not in the raspberry. The scent of raspberries isn't going to help you here. It's not. It's not in the glutens. It's not any of these things. It's how much you're eating. So stop eating all the foods. Okay, slow down. Have some self-control. Have some discipline. Eat real food. Don't eat too much of it. Make it mostly plants. And I don't think it gets any better than that.
No, that's awesome. Thanks, Will.
All right, yep. Have a good 2018, everybody. And we hope this is a good way to start off. Follow this podcast if you want to. We'll have it, I think, in the iTunes store and posted wherever podcasts are posted. And hopefully we can help you. We can learn something. So
awesome.
Have a good one.
Thanks. See ya.